Today, we will allow the lawyers something is happening now. But to lead us as we go through the film, block by block, if there is any member, any person, including submissions that are here, who wants to effect any change, we will do that as we go through the film, block by block. And I will not waste more time. After the last day, I'll talk here before late, late or before noon or evening. And therefore, I will allow the Department of Staff to be there. And we have made it on our head. Yeah. Oh, we also have a researcher, Nadia, who also made some submissions on this bill, or comments on this bill. Over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. From the restart, I just want to say that Commissioner Feldman is accompanying me, and we also asked Commissioner to know from the Criminal Record Centre, he's also available at the meeting. Madam Chair. Madam Chair, as you rightly said, the version that we have now is the one that was distributed for comment. On the long title of the vote, there were some expectations that were made. And I'm just going to read through, and there are one or two corrections that I've also received in terms of the comments that were made, and which I think can be accommodated, and that maybe cut short some of the discussions. If we go to the long title on page 2, to amend the Criminal Procedure Act 1977 as it provides for the compulsory taking of fingerprints of certain categories of persons, to provide for the taking of fingerprints and body prints for investigative purposes, to further provide for the detention, and we just proposed grammatically to insert here, of fingerprints and body prints taken under the Act, to regulate for the destruction of fingerprints taken under the Act, to further regulate proof of certain facts by affidavit or certificate, to amend the South African Police Service Act 1995 so as to regulate the storing and use of fingerprints, and then a proposal to delete palm prints or footprints and insert body prints in line with the rest of the text. And for the images of certain categories of persons, to provide for the keeping of databases, we will make it one word as in the rest of the text, databases, and to allow for comparative searches against those databases. And what we have inserted new here in line with the decisions on the data protection law is to provide for security measures relating to the integrity of information stored on these databases, to empower the National Commissioner to develop standard operating procedures regarding access to the databases of other state departments, to effect the alignment with the Child Justice Act regarding the taking of fingerprints and body prints of a child, to amend the Firearms Control Act 2000 to further regulate the powers in respect of fingerprints and body prints, to amend the Explosives Act 2003 to further regulate the powers in respect of fingerprints and body prints for investigation purposes, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Madam Chair, I don't know whether you want to deal with this page by page or, of course, clause by clause. Shall I stop here or shall I continue?
Just a moment, I mean, many of the things that Mr. Zagat is that we already in the previous meeting agreed to, and we agreed that we want a team copy of those changes. And now we read the things that we've already agreed to in the previous meeting. So I'm a bit confused. I mean, we can't say that, and I remember specifically the detention of fingerprints and the body prints change as well. When we had the last meeting, when the meeting was adjourned, the chairperson asked the legal team to get together and to clean up the vote and to forward as that copy. Now, this is not that copy.
Madam Chair, as far as I know, this was the copy that was also received from the Secretary of the Committee. There might be some mistakes in it. which we propose to rectify, and that this is a copy that the father and that was distributed for comments.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a problem. I will agree with you. But for the minute that we have Johann Zeland's submission separate from this one, what does that mean? Because really when we left, we said to ourselves that this Iglo Asylum, not good situation, can obtain the job. Effect changes immediately. What would definitely have this input?
Madam Chair, I think you might recall that your request was that document should be with your office the next day. As we sat immediately with the special advisor. The comments that we received from Mr. Hahn along with the email was dated, I think, the 25th of November. So then we have already submitted the cleanup with the special advisor.
Maybe I can shed some light there with it is absolutely correct what Dr. Jacobs is saying. He did in fact liaise with me on the latest copy that they were dealing with at the time. But the document that you've got that said, I think it was emailed here, that is something that I took quite apart from that one and asked my leisure. That. And it's really a document not so much intended for the committee, it's more for the special advisors to look at. It's really an issue of talking style, moving things around a bit. The only really thing of some significance, I added a new clause to avoid repeating the same thing in the other clause, we'll recall when we get to that. But that is what happened in this case. After they submitted this document, I did the 19th. In fact, gone further than that, and really, but like I said, really from the talking side, taking for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to confirm that Dr. Jacobs and Bori, that we sat together at the last meeting, and we were all part of the committee to submit by the next day at 12. And it was only our office and Jacob from the police who dealt with the draft and incorporated the changes. The changes with regard to the document submitted by Mr. Delano was received later on. And with regard to any changes with regard to statutory issues or drafting issues, that was not incorporated in the draft which we came to. The secretary of the committee. So that's not incorporated there. And some of the issues which we discussed with the police department are issues which should be addressed or presented by Mr. Delano in respect of the document which is submitted. So what we have is the document which we prepared and finalized on the last day before the last day of the meeting.
Thank you. Maybe. You can use them.
The one with the document of Advocate Iran, because it's not clear that it says delete. Sometimes it says delete whole sentence. Sometimes it says change sentence. And it's characterized by that for the general policy. Now, where does it put us? Because I would have expected them, if it doesn't know when they receive it, to have some meeting with him. Because he is not a man which you can just dismiss. I mean, he's an advocate. He has been involved in the drafting of law. So it's not a personality issue. That's the dismissal. So I'm just worried about how do you proceed, because I would have expected him to go to meet him and get where does it, so that when you come here, at least those you understand where he comes from, some of the issues which he has raised here.
Jefferson, I want to take it one step further. I think we also need to know from Mr. Delano why he wasn't present at that first meeting. because the indication was clearly that justice from the papers and justice, police and the state who advised must sit down. So I agree, and there might be some very valid changes there. But again, it's officials now complicating the issue for us. And that is just not acceptable. I mean, we want to finalize this thing. We're under pressure to finalize it. We want to finalize it ourselves as well, because we've got other legislation waiting for us. But we can't work this way. I mean, surely it was a simple thing. The chairperson made the instruction very clear. Police, state law advisors, justice, sit and come up with a clean copy by the next day.
I'll try and maybe I can help again, Chair. I just want to make it very clear, this document that we're now dealing with, that Dr. Yarlis is dealing with, that is the result of the product that the committee asked us to get together and to get the document by the next day, I think. And we did in fact I also take responsibility for it. I was quite happy and it was sent to me and I actually made some input on it. But it's a bit difficult for me. The other document that I submitted was not necessarily I emailed it to the state advisors and to Dr. Yarlis and to the secretary, but I didn't have a mandate from the committee to do that redrafting to that extent. So I sat down at my time, had a good look at it, and gave them the document, and I thought that in the committee, maybe the committee would like to indulge in it, we can look at it. Otherwise, not to be clear, as I said, a matter of drafting staff. Not something that we necessarily want to spend data on. But I certainly did not have a document or a mandate from the committee to do the change to the extent that the redraft is reflecting.
Thank you,
Ben.
I just want to say, in future, if we request something from yourself, we really expect that you do it, particularly if you have accepted the request. If anyone will not be able to be part of this request, if it makes sense to indicate that because of 1, 2, 3 reasons I cannot, so that we know and we don't have to begin to raise issues on something that can actually be avoided. We still remain human beings, doesn't matter that others are officials, others are members of parliament. It would have assisted us a great deal if we had known at the time that even if we are saying that, but for others it's not practically possible to be part of the meeting. And we're not disputing the fact that the submissions might have valid information, but what we are worried about is that we had agreed that after the meeting, all of you will go to sit together and input and draft clean the thing of the tumor. And no one indicated during the meeting or outside the meeting that it won't be possible. I will not be part of that. So as far as you are concerned, three of you must have sat together and three of you must have affected or discussed these changes and bring them to the portfolio committee for the portfolio committee to agree. Let's move on. We have this long definition now. It's been presented to us in the color banner. We appreciated your written input. It shows that you take instruction better than the official. Thank you very much. I think all of this, we have agreed the fact that we have got to remove palm print, footprint, and insert body print as we suggested. Any comment? I think that you have said on the document regarding definition.
Catching up with you, just one thing, I'm not an advocate, so I've never seen, I don't deserve that title.
So, Chair, I didn't quite follow you want to comment on. I'm quite happy with the long title that is signed by Dr. Yarlis.
It's not really problem. It's my opinion, of
course. Okay. Although in your documents here, for instance, oh, okay, maybe for me.
No, that's of significance. As I said, it's really not something that I want to even discuss or invite people. First of all.
No, I'm not debating. I'm raising it because I've seen it. You came to us and you read it through and showed it. In that document, I think that you said to further provide for the retention of fingerprints that has been taken care of. And it says to further regulate the destruction of fingerprints instead of saying to regulate for the destruction of fingerprints. It says to further regulate the destruction of fingerprints. I want to check that would be fine. I think we have accepted and it says end to further regulate for fish. I should think it. What you are saying is that they are saying to further regulate and you want us to keep to that. I think it's orderly. You have indicated that on to provide for security measures relating to the integrity. And you are suggesting that we use actually. I want to check what members are saying. I would think that integrity is more involved than accurate. I think integrity is correct than accurate. I would think that we keep integrity. And you opposite that it is to the wrong way all the time. Fingerprints. You need to decide either to say fingerprint tools or fingerprint or fingerprint what need. And I think we've got to agree to one really like fingerprint. Yes. Fingerprint, not that, nothing. So let's do that continuously. Yes. And you have suggested to say to align. Instead of saying to effect alignment, you're suggesting Mr. Dillon to say to align with the child justice act.
That's correct, sir. With the provisions of the child justice act, I just put it to treat matter, but a lot of it is nothing different.
I'm doing it for you now. And okay, I think that is it. Unless there is something else which you have said. Oh, okay. You have suggested that we and to align taking of fingerprints and body prints of the child with the provision of child justice act. Can you just explain that because I could not understand exactly what your input is there?
I thought just grammatically it's easier for the reader to align for the provisions of the act. As opposed to aligning for the act, but as I said, it's really a matter of difference. Those who have English as their mother tongue would be in a better position than I to have a judgment on that.
But for sure, that is not myself or I'm a leaf. Yes. I just want to clarify, we aren't assisting the line of comments on the integrity, giving integrity, not accuracy. Because I think integrity is the right word. Yeah. We can continue. Are we in agreement with this vision now? Okay. And are we, what about that, do I address you as Mr. Dillon or Advocate Dillon?
John, or Mr. Dillon, if you would say
okay. Oh, Commissioner Dillon. Okay. And to align the taking of fingerprints and body prints of a child with provision, he's suggesting, what does it say here? Oh, yeah, we've accepted that, I think. To align with the child justice act. I think we're accepting that. And then you can continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, then just the introduction clause of the Public and South African Act, of course, and then I'll start here with clause 2. The following sections are hereby inserted in the Criminal Procedure Act, after section 36, interpretation of chapter 3. the purposes of this chapter, unless the context indicates otherwise. There's a definition of authorized person, Madam Chair, which Johannes proposed that we should read. We can go along with the division, or if I can refer the committee to the fact that with the clause that's already in the latter part of the bill about the Farms Control Act, that definition only reads authorized person means with reference to photographic images, fingerprints or body prints, any police official in the performance of his or her official duties, full stop. And just leave it at that, because the officer commanding is anyway also a police official. And then if we stop at his or her official duties, it also aligns with the part that's already in the Firearms Control Act. In other words, authorized person would be authorized person means with reference to photographic images, fingerprints or body prints, any police official in the performance of his or her official duties.
What section suggesting that we delete a clause specific for the Ministry of Culture?
Just again on the last comment, I mean, I don't understand what this, are we saying with this reason? Because I don't think we cannot have any definition. He's saying it's only used in one place, so therefore we should delete the entire definition of authorized person. But I don't think that's correct, because we still need a definition in that, huh? No.
That is our proposal, Chief.
I think just briefly explain. I did a find and search, and the only place where we are in the Criminal Procedure Act that I could find where the word authorized person appears is in fact in this definition clause. It's just the definition of comparative search. At the moment, it refers to an authorized person. It's the only place where it appears. And it's really very peculiar legislative practice to define and assess an inward definition clause that is only appearing in that very same definition clause. So my suggestion only has been to, as to the definition thing, when you get to comparative search, just say there what you mean with authorized person, why complicate the matter? But like I said again, I think really turns on the matter of last concessions.
Chair, just a small thing. I know that fingerprints has no hyphen, but body prints, I'm a bit I don't know that that doesn't mean a hyphen. Fingerprint is an entity that you can see, but a body print is the taking of a print of a body part. So it actually needs a hyphen. Sorry. So fingerprint, no hyphen. Body print would have a hyphen. Unless anybody else knows anything, please, if you've got some input here, help me.
I think this is an amendment to the CCA Act. I think fingerprint, the spelling we've actually inconsistent in the spelling of that word fingerprint and body print. You see that in the amendment to the Firearms Control and the Explosives Act also different spelling. So the spelling is different. So for consistency sake, we actually have used the same spelling throughout. We're using the term for that. So this is an amendment to the
Are we obliged to continue to replicate an incorrect spelling? I'm not sure to say, because fingerprint is one word. It has no hyphen. So, I mean, are we obliged by law to now add into life and continue perpetuating an incorrect spelling?
If I'm actually absolutely agree with my colleague is saying, it is in fact at the moment I know there's no more procedure act. But you do have quite a number of examples where you make the correction without necessarily changing it throughout the whole act. You don't need to do that really right now. And just as a matter of point of interest, I say see that the latest UK legislation confirms that it's actually fingerprints without any hyphen.
Make it right.
Now, I don't know the English. If what English that is spoken in UK, what English that is spoken.
different opinion. But to me, that's what it is. And that's why that sometimes you never know which is the correct spelling of an English word. Because you have to look at whether it's English that is used in the UK or it's English that is used in America.
So if I may put the Honourable Member mind at ease, I assure you, fingerprint is a word with no hyphen said anywhere in any country in the world ever. Alright? Will you take my word on that, please?
But we just been asked this for the African English.
Okay. Okay, let's proceed. So what we are agreeing upon is this. We are going to give authorized person defined photographic images up to official duties. Mm. He's saying that there's only one place where this has been used in the sense of the point. So we do need it to be defined, but we don't need to be in a specific definition at the beginning of the act because there's only one place in the whole act that is used, and that is in this court. So I don't think we need to have a certain definition as such, but it needs to be defined within this clause. Because what we're proposing here now is that we put a definition right at the beginning of the act, whereas we don't need that just for one place. So we can make sure that it's defined in here, but not that it's a general definition of the whole act.
Madam Chair, as a matter of fact, these definitions are only applicable to Section 36A or Clause 36A. But Madam Chair, I think the reason why it would be helpful to really define it is that already the definition of comparative search is quite lengthy as it is. And by inserting in the text what we now have in the definition is actually even stretching the wording of comparative search further. So I think it is useful to define it in this instance. And of course it's only applicable in respect of 36A, that definition. So if I read on to what the Honourable Shastra said.
What we are clearing up on is that we define authorized person and the definition we go up to Roman figure 1 and we're going to delete Roman figure 2.
Madam Chair, our continued interest body plans means plans taken from a person and which are related to
Madam Chair, that means we don't have that the 1. We do have it with that 1.
Yeah, we will clean up the numerical Madam Chair. Madam Chair, then the definition of body prints means prints taken from a person and which are related to a crime scene, but exclude prints of the genitalia of a person. Child means a person under the age of 18 years. I thought, Madam Chair, we had discussions on this on child and minor. And maybe my colleagues can just assist, and I think elsewhere we've used actually the word minor. We'll just make certain of that.
Just before we go on to child, Nadia raised the issue of the question of the intent that doesn't include rape or not. I don't know if it's necessary to define that further or whether it was included. I think maybe we need to divide it to make question.
In fact, it was kind of an insect offense, and it definitely excludes rape.
One having to then go into definitions of who and who may not take premise. And if you don't exceed those, suddenly you have some male saying, I want princes or breasts, or what it means to be constant. And then you have to go into the whole further definition of who may or may not, and then the whole capacity. So yes, it has to be defined very clearly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Then, the ministry position is that of comparative skills, means that the body prints, fingerprints, and photographic images taken under any power concerned by this Act made for the purposes related to the detection of crime, investigation of an offence, or the conduct of a prosecution be compared by an authorized person against, in the case of photographic images, body prints, or fingerprints, the database is contemplated in terms of this Act, irrespective of whether the fingerprints, body prints, or photographic images stored on these respective databases were collected before or after the coming into operation of this Act. Madam Chair, if I may, just from my side, it is just a small proposal that maybe we should not confuse this definition. The definition is a description of something, and let's not confuse it with actually the power that is granted to do this comparison. And Commissioner Hellman has proposed that we maybe remove the word may in this, because we have elsewhere in the bill where we say that this comparative search must be may be undertaken. But if we just say then that comparative search means the comparison of the photographic images taken under any power confirmed by this chapter for purposes related, etc. In other words, it's just removing the word may, which relates normally to a power that is granted. So this will then just describe the action that's being performed, and doesn't relate to a power that's granted, because the power is granted elsewhere in the law. If members are to go to that manager. There was also a proposal by Mr. Delonga on the change of the definition, but once again, I think as he also said, it's not really changing the substance of what's in the definition.
So maybe, but to add that my change is actually absolutely in line with what Mr. Delonga just said. He really said, means the comparing of body prints, blah, 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 blah. So it's really the same thing.
Madam Chair, just for the benefit of the honourable members, if I can just say then that if we can say that comparative search means the comparison of the body prints, fingerprints, and photographic images taken under any power confirmed by this Act, by this chapter, for purposes related. In other words, it's just in the beginning to delete the word that. In other words, means the comparison of the body prints, etc. And then delete the word may of the chapter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one small point that part after the conduct of the prosecution, I think it's in line 5, the last word in the D. The definition of comparative search, the first, second, third, fourth line, the last word, D. That D, D, that should be removed. And then the phrase following, or not following, but immediately preceding that, should actually be at the end of the paragraph, because it covers the whole process, the purpose. In other words, Madam Chair, if I can read it, I suggest that the comparative search means the comparison of the body prints, fingerprints, and photographic images taken under any power conferred by this chapter, and then skip the part dealing with four purposes, and then carry on with compare. In other words, it's a comparison of by an authorized person against
they can offer the graphic images, body prints or fingerprints, the data basis, concentrate the interest of this app, irrespective of whether from forward, and then after, in terms of this app, we serve the path that we have bracketed as a bus. In other words, to take in terms of this app, for purposes related to the detection of crime, the investigation of an offence, or the conduct of a prosecution. That part will then be at the end of the day.
I wish you could read what you're saying, because I have no problem.
I will read it very much. Okay, it's called a comparative search, means the comparison of thumbprint, fingerprint, and photographic images taken under any cloud conferred by this chapter with fingerprint or thumbprint or images stored on any database referred to in this app, irrespective of whether the fingerprint, thumbprint, or images were collected before or after the coming into operation of this app, for purposes related to the detection of crime, the investigation of an offence, the identification of missing persons or unidentified human remains, or the conduct of the prosecution.
Not changing
the definition, but changing the order of the words, because it reads rather difficult. Therefore,
but remember, now there is nothing that talks to these taken before this. So you are adding.
Madam Chair, yes, I assume that I made a mistake by not mentioning it, but I think the comparative search should also be applicable in the case where we are looking for missing persons or unidentified human, because it's exactly the same search which is conducted through the database to determine whether we can identify that person with one we find, for instance, where in the case of a disaster, or where we have a missing person and we eventually find the person we believe it is this person who was reported missing, but this person is unaware, for instance, lost his memory and is unaware who he is. And we can then identify him by making use of his fingerprint. That's the idea.
Yes, I understand.
It's not the first one we've got this question. I'm getting extremely upset that we don't have the suggestions in our case. We had a debate around this issue, and Ms. Sulebana himself is trying to remember what the debate about it was in the previous round of process. And the moment I sat down to the committee, honestly making a presentation on something that I know we had a debate on, and we don't have that in writing, I've got it. And I'm sorry to say that Ms. Sulebana but the fact of the matter is that we do know that we should have it in writing so that we can see what it is. And I would request the person that they give it to us in writing and that we come back to that issue. And they try and give it to us in writing now for today's story.
Chairperson, I just wanted to ask, you know, are we going to have any more things that are going to not that we added so in the option? Because if that is the case, it must have been very difficult to follow. You can't even picture where it was going and figure out where the next thing is going. I'm just asking, is there more stuff coming that you wanted to put into the flow now? Because if this is maybe, I don't know whether we should suspend for a few minutes, just give them a chance to put everything in writing, put it on paper.
still going to have more submissions.
Madam Chair, the arrangement of proposals are the proposals of minor change. Minor change is not a major one like this, but I will ask this five person and photocopies that I can provide to me that copy. If that's in order, then that can be extended.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
One copy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, the next submission was not changed to the Patent Research Act, the Patent Research Act 1995. Chair, the next provision published to be there was a proposal from Maria just relating to the numbering. Because there is no paragraph B that it should be 36B1, a produced official mark. The sentence just simply continues. Take the fingerprints or must cause such fingerprints to be taken of any person arrested upon a charge, any charge related to an offence referred to in Schedule 1. Of course, then the numbering, which is now Roman numbers, must be changed to ABCDE. Madam Chair. Madam Chair, you will recall that the discussion in the previous meeting was that we should shuffle some of the issues that are under the obligation part, the police official must take the fingerprints, etc., that we will shuffle some of these issues. Madam Chair, if we come to paragraph, which is now still Romans 6, it says the person deemed under section 57.6 to have been convicted in respect of any offence which the minister has by notice in the cadet declared to be an offence for the purposes of this section. Madam Chair, there was a question from your, Mr. Amelana on whether this can be released. Now, this is a present provision which is in the Act at the moment. I just think that it may be one of those that we should shift to the may part as opposed to the obligation part. Because it is in the Act at the moment as under may. That is how section 37 reads at the moment, exactly as it is here in this clause. I think by placing it under must is what actually caused the problem. Madam Chair, the rest of the document, the some refining of the wording issue, in other words, a person upon whom a summons has been served in respect of any offence referred to in Schedule 1. The person convicted by a court and sentenced to a term of imprisonment, whether suspended or not, if the fingerprints were not taken upon arrest. And Madam Chair, the question just arises on that second part there, the person convicted by a court and sentenced to a term of imprisonment, whether suspended or not. And the question is whether that part should not be deleted here. In other words, it must be the person convicted by a court if the fingerprints were not taken upon the arrest.
I just don't understand this paragraph E about the minister declaring offences. What kind of offences are in the dish mark?
I can't discuss actually think. What kind of, and even whether they are in the sense, it's just, this is, I think, borrowed from the existing provision, which is a may provision, which is when the police may. And it's rather limited at this point in time. And I think this was added as a sort of a caveat, catch or in case there are offences that we might, or the minister might feel we can actually take fingerprints for. And so it was put in there. And I agree with Dr. Jacob, it is really, very difficult to put in there.
Thank you.
Any vagrant who picked up
someone is drunk or something.
Exactly. They felt that to insist that everyone who's brought in, they know it's going to be for a few hours, now has to go through the process, just to bring it as we're hoping it was, and that this wasn't actually doable. That's another thing, the discussion there.
If that's the case, then they need to just come to that again. Because I'm asking this question again, because what happens if that vagrant is the one that you've been looking for the past 5 years of a unfortunate? And if this is just a reason why, then are we basically saying again that we've got a problem with fingerprint database for them to make one day to go with the legislation? Because now we're back at the DNA thing, because forensics is not being able to deal with. So if that's the reason, then I've got a problem. So can we hear from?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's quite correct, Madam Chair. The present wording of the Act only gives the power. It only says the police official may take fingerprints. So there is no obligation. And the idea of this bill, as I understand it, was to put an obligation on such to add the honourable member of the sort of accept that the idea is to populate the database. But I think in line with the discussions we had previously in the committee, and as I said, there was even discussion on which part must be under B and which must be under A. But we said that as an absolute minimum, the Schedule 1 offences must all be covered. And if we look at the Schedule 1 offences, they are much broader than that stated in Schedule 1, the specific crimes, because it says all crimes for which imprisonment for a period of more than 6 months can be given. So Schedule 1, although it enumerates the most serious offences, there's also a catch-all clause in it which is quite wide. And then the discussion was that the police still have the power to make that fingerprint in other cases, in all cases where you arrest a person. So that covers then the issue of being able to do it. But for instance, should there be a decision that all vagrants, all certain categories will be covered, it can be covered in terms of national instructions or even that power of the minister to list certain offences for under the application.
No, I need to say that on the other one. I think it's important. We don't want to create an event that we don't connect to a group of people. I think that needs to be made clear, is that let us not go the route of putting certain groups of people, because of economic standards, I'm just using the example of vagrants or whatever, let's not put those people as a specific goal. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just asking the rationale behind why we did it after this. But it's fine. I'm not uncomfortable with the decision as a
I think the idea when we're discussing, we give an example of Denver, with many others of people just later. And we only said, should we be taking fingerprints for such people, all of them? Because they are arrested in numbers, imagine we have seen it, in numbers, for later. And it should not be because they're trying to clean their streets, they don't want, you know, those people home and take it back to them. I would say to say that,
yeah. I think you're quite correct, and also a number of those people, in some instances they are arrested for working, and maybe they are kept overnight until the next morning. But in many instances, written warnings are issued then in the station to appear in court later on. But I think it is possible, but I think it's quite a sound principle. I mean, If we look at the main type of fingerprint, that is how the act is at the moment. And I think from the police side especially, we are quite intent not on certain people, but on certain offences. And those are like the Schedule 1 offences that, there's no question of talking about an overload when it comes to those offences. Those fingerprints must simply be taken. Because for your whole system to apply your Firearms Control Act and a lot of other domestic violence and all those things, you must have report. I think that is the only differentiation that we wish to make there. But to come back to that, that for serious offenses, there must be an obligation. And we totally agree with that,
ma'am. So, what you said is that
the
kids not in the second one, then the first one. So, that second must be changed.
Lifting the B of the two, so that we then have two police officials will take the fingerprint or may cause that fingerprint to be taken of any person arrested upon any charge. And we lift. Then we lift the. That's what we are putting up. State your answer?
Fine, we have also discussed briefly the situation with the situation earlier, just for the meeting.
Madam Chair, then subclause 3, the fingerprints taken in terms of paragraph 8 of subsection 1, and we propose that we should insert here and subsection 2, because both should be covered here, must be stored on the fingerprint database maintained by the National Commissioner as provided for in chapter 5A of the South African Police Service Act. And Madam Chair, if I can just make an observation, if you would allow me here. Throughout the bill, we have used the National Commissioner or his or her delegate. Now, in the South African Police Service Act, there is a power for the National Commissioner to delegate any power that he has in terms of the SAS Act or any other act. So, it's not really a matter of asking this, but I think it will be more correct to just refer to the National Commissioner because he has that power in terms of the SAS Act to delegate any of these powers in terms of this. Of that act and any other act.
Any comment on that? What you're suggesting is that we say the fingerprint taken in terms of paragraph A of section 1 and subsection 2 must be stored in the fingerprint database maintained by the National Commissioner for sure.
It's not just easier to say that the fingerprint taken in terms of the section.
It's fine, Madam Chair, you can follow that route as well. So the fingerprint taken in terms of this section must be stored. I think it's more brief. Yeah.
May I just share, I just want to be assured by the gentleman across my and I know that it was said very strongly that SAS does not have the capacity to deal with another 100 or 200 sets of fingerprints every weekend from every station in the country. And that's what cutting the section out will do. Are you able to assure us that SAS has the capacity to deal with this and to deal with these fingerprints effectively and to have them processed, analyzed, stored, and do comparative analysis, taken, etc., etc.? Is this actually going to happen, or are we creating a lot of stats back?
Okay, I think though the present wording of the act which is enforced is written as may. It actually is the practice in most instances where a person is arrested. As I've said, and as the Honourable Chair also mentioned, maybe not for loitering and some of those issues. But where a person is arrested for assault, most of the common law offences and most statutory offences, the fingerprints are taken as normal. So I don't think this is placing such an additional burden really But it really, in certain instances, you can go back and say that's an obligation of the act, it must be done. Someone can't say we didn't use the prison because we had a discretion to do it. When we come to the Schedule 1 offences, the must party, we now have an obligation to do it. But I think, Commissioner Kalman can maybe help me there as well, but I think in terms of even instructions, so that, that's really. It is a sort of a stunning process of taking, not photographs in this case, but in most instances, the fingerprints of taking.
Okay. Mr. Tila, do you want to say anything
else? No, actually, I agree with
Dr. Okay. So what we are saying is that three would be the fingerprints taken in terms of section 1, section 1A, isn't it?
The proposal by the Honourable Member from Bates was that it should be the fingerprints taken in terms of this section. In other words, we cut with another reference to the numbering. The fingerprints taken in terms of this section must be stored on the fingerprint database maintained by the National Commissioner. As provided for chapter 5.
Okay.
The secret of the
okay.
Then continue. Okay, sub or score, nothing in this chapter shall prohibit the police officials from taking the fingerprints of any person referred to in subsection 1. If the fingerprints taken on the previous occasion do not constitute a complete set. Some or all of the fingerprints taken on the previous occasion are not of sufficient quality to allow satisfactory analysis, comparison or matching. If fingerprints taken were lost, most cards were not stored on the database. And then 5, the fingerprints taken on any card confirmed by this section may be the subject of a comparative search, and that is where the power is to exercise that. Madam Chair, there were no amendments to that part. Clause 6A.
Yes, my interest in rewording, at my leisure, I thought that this would be nicer, but it's completely up to you. The meaning is exactly the same, but currently might want to decide whether it's a nicer draft or not.
Yes, the thing that we actually say, if the fingerprint is taken on the previous occasion, then do not constitute, are not of sufficient, are lost, like that. Because all these sentences start to apply.
And also that this word, nothing in this chapter, that's not meant to be something to talk about and at least before night.
The police officials may again take the fingerprints. And they're saying nothing in this chapter shall prohibit the police official from retaking nothing. Or a police official may again take the fingerprints any person refers. Remember, we can see some, we can take that subject. Because it doesn't change anything, but then it's positive, then nothing can, in order to be a judge, I can see you ask something.
No, I was just, I agree with the difference between the two, that the other one is negative and the other one is positive. I would follow more the arguments on it, because it's more positive than the one which is negative. But in this case,
have you declared, you called him advocate, and I think you must declare. Let's continue.
Madam Chair, subclause 6A, subject to paragraph C, anything that is taken under any power concerned by this section, may upon commission of a person be retained. The proposal from Maria's side was that this may should be a must. I personally agree with that, Madam Chair. And then the second part, why upon conviction of a minor to be returned offence, if the conviction relates to the Schedule 1 offence, and in the case of any other offence for which a minor has been convicted, be returned for a period not exceeding 5 years. And the scholar Thomas proposed the 5 must be written out. Madam Chair, I just think we need to look at this from the perspective that we align the bill to the Child Justice Act. In terms of the Child Justice Act, the minor can apply for expungement from justice, and if such a certificate is issued, then the offence can be expunged. Now, I don't think the wording that we have here in sub 2 is really aligned to that, because it says which of the fingerprints we may keep for Schedule 1, etc., etc. But that would not be in sync with the Child Justice Act, because that differentiation is not really made in terms of that act. So, Madam Chair, the proposal is that the keeping of the fingerprints should actually be the same whether it's for an adult or a minor. The difference comes in with the Child Justice Act, which allows for a process in terms of which a minor may apply for the expungement of that previous conviction. And of course, once that certificate of expungement was handed over to the police, we are on obligation to then remove those fingerprints from our database.
I see the government is upgrading with you. On that point,
memory serves me. I mean, we had no problem with the retention of the fingerprints should the minor be convicted to Schedule 1. But to then retain the fingerprints of a child who is being convicted of a minor offence, we felt could be seen to be an infringement. And we gave that. In the case of any other offence, in other words, other than a Schedule 1, you said we felt could be seen to be an infringement and should go away automatically. You could be talking about a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old. It's just we were attempting to ensure that we were not going to be tied up in litigation by people attempting to say that human rights, the GDS rights violations, etc. What you're doing is putting a child on a criminal, a crime aspect for something other than Section 1, which seems to be a thing that I think is why we put it in.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I think one must be very careful with the term Schedule 1 and Schedule 2, because the Child Justice Act also contains Schedule 1, Schedule 2, and Schedule 3. And there's a huge difference between the schedules of the Child Justice Act and the Criminal Procedure Act. This is a reference to Schedule 1 in the Criminal Procedure Act, which is the most serious offences. In the case of the Child Justice Act, it's Schedule 3. But Schedule 3 is not similar to Schedule 1. If you look at Schedule 1, you will find that there are, in that regard, offences which are not regarded as so serious that they should be included in Schedule 3 in the Child Justice Act. So I think the proposal that we remove this is correct, because the Child Justice Act makes provision for the dealing with the fingerprint after a time. Remember, this is kept on the paper. So whenever we find a person at the scene of a crime, we are going to check against that. That's the whole idea. If the probation officer, or if we get the child a second time while that child is still a child, then we need to be aware of the fact that the child was previously convicted, because that makes a huge difference in terms of the Child Justice Act as to whether the child qualifies for diversion or not for diversion. And this is the type of information that we will have to provide to the probation officer to prepare a proper assessment report for the preliminary inquiry in terms of the Child Justice Act.
Thank you.
Chair, I'm very uncomfortable with this. I feel as though we are taking a decision and a ruling that actually should be ruled on and could be ruled on in court. I know what a few moments ago we said, if the child may then apply to have their fingerprints removed from the crime object. Now, what child is going to, I mean, how can you put the owner of the child? I'm re-explaining this. I'm telling you now that it's going to, we will have human rights people leaping up and down about it. I really believe that if you say that the child who's been had up on such a minor offense is going to be up there and re-explained and marked for life and in a crime database, that child is seen. I know you don't put yourself out of these shoes for us, and that is how it is seen. And a black mark against the person's name and his life. And I don't know that you can put that onto the child. I think you're going to have big problems with that child. And I think that's why we put this in there very specifically worried about that.
Even a whole session of the committee meeting, we put aside to deal with the alignment of this act of the process today. And now to come here today and listen to that. Again, we have a discussion, we have a long discussion about what it should be. We were told that it's not a problem to say that after 5 years something we were supposed to make. Now today we come, the day that we are supposed to go through court by court before we need to be voted, we are told that that's now a problem because the child doesn't actually say something different. We're also told that we have seen the child doesn't say. Should we then not, when we talk about this issue, shouldn't we then look at all the things in the child doesn't say, see which ones are applicable, look at those. Let us then decide on those which one should be retained for longer than 5 years, which one shouldn't be retained for the third year. It is like that, that we simplify the whole section of the resolution. For exactly this is the question. And then no one could have given out that
response. Madam Chair, I think exactly for the reason that the committee did spend a lot of time on this, but I think just in terms of technical correctness, I think the question must be asked. I mean, Parliament, within the Child Justice Act, considered on how this issue of expungement in respect of children will be dealt with. And Madam Chair, that's one of the reasons why this was not simply just removed or whatever. I think it's really, and I think the committee can decide on it. Whatever is in the Child Justice Bill, it is possible in terms of this Act to make. But I think once you just seriously ask what was the intention of the legislature with the Child Justice Act to make provision for that process of expulsion. And if we provide in this bill, it doesn't primarily deal with child justice, but must be aligned to that act. I think it is from a technical drafting point of view, it is important that if the committee decides that this is, and I know this was the wording that we decided on, but then we got a sort of a broad instruction to look at the alignment. And this is just a technical question that I ask you. Can we really say it is aligned? If this act has another process apart from the expansion, now to provide for an automatic expansion, whereas there's a formal process in the child justice act.
See, it comes back to the original position this morning.
Can we not ask for the relevant section from the Child Justice Act or whatever to be shown and see if we can just marry the two? Because if we're standing on the toes of one bill, then the two bills are going to fly anyway. And if they're standing on our toes, you know, they've got a problem there. So let's just get the relevant section and show it. Let's work through it. All we can do.
Thanks, Jake. Maybe I can get some assistance here, Jake, but you must stop me if I'm jumping into your bed. This is really the only proposal of significance I think that I've made when we deal with this particular subsection. You will see we're now dealing with subsection 4. We're attending a different subsection 6 on page 7. We make the same kind of provision again on page 9 at the bottom with the subsection 3 there, which is really the teaching editing that we've got in this subsection. And then if you turn to page 15, there's a new subsection 6 there, which again is the teaching editing in this subsection. And what I propose to do, which you might like to consider, is to remove these subsections and add a 36D, one clause that just deals with this issue. And if you look at the new 36D, and the first sheet, I don't know if everybody got the document. In 36D1X, I've attempted, I think, maybe I'm looking to address the concern of the committee by stipulating the grounds for destruction of, and in this instance, I've linked it to the criminal record of a person concerned. So not just a shock. Criminal record of a person concerned is expunged in terms of any law. I think that might assist the committee in the deliberation of this issue. There is also room for improvement, I just thought. It could not only be linked to expansion, one could say expunged in terms of any law, or even if the record of the court, if the conviction and sentence lapses in terms of any law. Because the Criminal Procedure Act and even the Child Justice Act, when it deals with expansion, there is still an onus on the person being accepted to apply and to get a certificate. But you do have a substantive clause in those very same acts, but the criminal conviction and sentence lapses. You don't need to apply to have the conviction sentence left. You want to apply to get the expungement. But one could consider adding that to the criminal record of the person concerned is expunged or lapses in terms of any law. I think the main point here, firstly, is you want to decide whether it makes sense to put this in a substantive single clause instead of repeating it 3 times in the whole.
I think that makes sense, doesn't it? I think it makes much more sense to, as long as it covers all the different kinds of in one section, and I think it does make sense. It's not a bit in the Bible issue, but I was also thinking while I was seeing as you put the gap on these, and there's another discussion about where we are and how to keep anybody's fingerprint indefinitely. Because I can't recall if we did or not, because I just had a concern about whether that is actually legal and what is happening in the UK with that case. I know it's mostly dealing with DNA, but was there any indication from the Human Rights Court, the European Court of Human Rights, as to whether it's in order from a human rights point of view to keep people's fingerprints indefinitely on a database, whether they're children or not?
The problem in the Marple case, as I understood it from my reading of it, focused on keeping the biometric data of persons who were not convicted or who were not prosecuted. The issue of convicted persons never arose, and it's still not arising. and the way the UK incidentally attempted to address the mob adjustment is also focusing on how do they deal with the biometric data that is the DNA as well as the fingerprint of persons who have not been convicted of an offence. Incidentally, I'm sure it's going to deal with some such having more detailed information on how they're doing.
In our last meeting, we thought that we have got to deal with the issues related to children in education model. And I should think even now we should not leave that one out, because that is what we did, and that is why we had a presentation on that day. And I want to believe that this was specifically talking to children. And I want to be assured that whatever decision that we take here is not compromising that decision in that discussion. And that view that children are children and probably not treat them as other criminals.
And I think this section I think covers the kinds of issues perfectly adequately. So again, it doesn't deal with children. And it doesn't deal with a 10-year-old who's has some minor infraction, who now by the has to be fingerprinted and their fingerprints are there, and it is we can't be treating a 10-year-old like we treat a 19-year-old. Can't happen. So I really ask again that we see that section of the child's fault, and let's go through it and see what they say. We've got to tie the two together in any case. We can't go off in one direction and have the child just go off in another direction. I just absolutely just couldn't be. Please.
Section 87, I'm not sure we'll get to that, but and the copy that wasn't been given to the secretary last year of the whole aspect of section 87. I don't think we want me to cover that now. I don't think we want to go into that because now. Basically, it's worth your leave to stop me from knowing it. It says where a court has convicted the child of an offence that's referred to in Schedule 1 or 2 of the Child Act that was used, the conviction and sentence in question fall away as a previous conviction, and the criminal record of that child must subject to subsequent use and part on the written application of the child to the parent, purpose adult, or guardian thereafter says that the applicant in the prescribed form be expunged after a period of 1-5 years that elapsed after the date of conviction in the case of an offence that was in Schedule 1 or 2, 10 years that elapsed after the date of conviction in the case of an offence that was in Schedule 2, unless during that period the child is convicted of a similar or a minimal serious offence. And that's why I also earlier suggested that in my undocumented one could maybe make the link not only with expungement, but with a actual lawful lapsing, the conviction and sentence fall away. And that can also help.
To my mind, I'm pretty sure now that that's where we got the 5 years on issues. So, I mean, this has to be in line for children exactly with that. And the wording from that being 5 years for Schedule 1 and 10 years for Schedule 2, as you read, should we not be, I don't know what the protocol is in repeating a section of one door in another door, but I don't know that we should lift that section of something.
But the point I'm trying to make with you is, if we cover it, hopefully in the manner that I'm suggesting, it's not even necessary to put this out of the court. The child has to take care of it. So we must just make really sure that we capture it in there.
The expansion of the record, that is nicely being taken off the fingerprints in the red way. Now, does it automatically mean that? Because this will now give you a serious effect. You see now, with a serious effect,
lawyers are like economists. They never agree. They are good.
It's important to ask that question because the expansion of the criminal record is one thing. If that does not automatically mean that the fingerprints be removed,
then we still need a thought to say that that thing of them that being removed upon the insult of a expansion of meaning of the criminal ethics, then we still need that. And I've looked at this. Commissioner Jacobs was banned, but I couldn't read what it was. Commissioner Falkner was saying yes to me that Mr. Jacobs was saying no, that Mr. DeLonga was saying no, that so now I need a court lawyer. Can you say what I'm going to
say? Can I say that?
Thank you, Jeff. This is basically the justice domain with regard to child justice as regard to the investigation thereof. But I'm just really interested in Dean Alkin, as long as proposal and that brings discussion up with my colleagues. It seems that you read very quickly, it doesn't really stick to the mind of the way we and with regard to the expansion, that will be done on application. So with regard to specific retention of things, I think that's something that we really need to look at here.
That part of it cannot do the fingerprint data. It wouldn't come there to let it do it. The person would apply to the resident, receive pardon, and then submit that to the fingerprint record, only with the request that they've been doing it. And then it is deleted from the data.
Madam Chair, yes, I can confirm that for the simple reason that is the purpose of the expansion. Because otherwise, the person has the criminal record. Now, the expulsion means he no longer has a criminal record, and that certificate of expulsion must go to the police. Why? To enable them to now remove that from their system, so that the child no longer has a previous conviction. So that is automatically what happens.
Yeah, I really think somewhere it has to say that. We can't just say, well, that's how we understand it in this little forum of 15 people, and then in a year's time they go with profit million. No, it has to be started on the back of our, not in the regulations, no.
I think that the members have spoken, and we have got that to do.
Madam Chair, can I just make sure? Do I understand correctly that the only issue that the committee now has as far as this matter is concerned is the matter that this Act must clearly state that when a record has been expunged, it must be removed from the database of the police service? That's the purpose. Am I right?
No, that's not the only issue. The other issue is how to marry the two of the time periods as well, of the 5 or 10 years. And can you just tell us again what section is in the town that deals with the town?
It's section 3J, section 87.1. And just to recap, my proposal is that if we're linking this act, we establish the necessary link with that section, then it is not necessary to go into detail here. For example, in my proposal, we say the criminal record of the person concerned is expunged in terms of any law. And if we add to that expunged or lapsed in terms of any law, it's not really necessary to start to expunge a person, including a child, etc. It is captured and it's covered by whatever law is regulating that expunging and lapsing.
Just for clarity, we don't have a section 87 in our child justice act. My name is 57.
let's continue, because I think I want to take time. Let's start. For now, I think we are agreeing that we have to link this to that, so that we don't leave things to chance. People will think that the cause there is, I should think that link this to the thing. Because we, like I've said at the end of the history, we really took time discussing the issue of children, and I think it's important to link that. If there is a section there that covers our concerns, let it be linked. Let not be things to change, to say they will conclude and let it be called. Let it be. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue.
Okay, Chapter 3, then in case a decision was made not to prosecute the person, if the person is found not guilty of his child, or if conviction is set aside by a superior court to initiate the charge as a preparatory investigation, we propose just to substitute investigation as a preparatory examination. I believe that is the correct terminology. Or if no criminal proceedings with reference to such fingerprints or body prints was instituted against the person, until the import or if the prosecution declined to prosecute must be destroyed within 30 days after having been notified of such events as referred to in this paragraph. And we've noted your Honour's recommendation on maybe abbreviating the bill by looking at the common provisions that can be clustered together.
Grammatical thing, once you put the line with the last word, it was tricky word, cutting a word, which is my body.
Madam Chair, B, then fingerprints may be retained in terms of this section, may only be used for purposes related to the detection of crime, the investigation of an offence, or the conduct of a prosecution. And then C, paragraph A, 1 and 2, does not read it. The use of any fingerprints taken under any powers conferred by this section for the purposes of establishing if a person has been convicted of an offence.
Madam Chair, yes, that paragraph B of subsection 6, it may be retained in terms of this, may only be used for purposes related to the detection of crime, investigation of an offence. Once again, we request that we retain the reference to missing persons and identification of unidentified individuals.
I think fingerprints which may be retained in terms of position may only be used for purposes related to the detection of crime, investigation of an offense, or the conduct of a prosecution, missing persons, and
paragraph D, Madam Chair, that if any person uses or allows the use of any fingerprints, and then Nadia proposed that we should delete all body prints in this part, I agree with that, as referring in this section for any purpose that is not related to the detection of crime, investigation of an offence, or the conduct of the prosecution, is guilty of an offence and liable and on conviction to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 15 years. And Madam Chair, if it is accepted that the identification of the human remains, unidentified human remains, then we need to to carry that through in this text as well.
Is it the intention that we wanted to impose a sentence of imprisonment only without the option of the fine for this section? So all you have to say is fine or imprisonment, but not this one.
Madam Chair, I think we can say that it has to be imprisonment as well, yeah. It just broadens the scope for the magistrate to...
No, it doesn't, because you're saying... He's also going to take another one conviction to imprisonment. You aren't giving the option of the fine. The imprisonment isn't there, is it? So are you saying we should insert fine?
In other words, it would be to a fine or to an imprisonment.
I think it's from a previous discussion, you indicated that to imprisonment to convey the sense of seriousness with the legislative statement, and we had quite a bit of discussion on it. Actually, the discussion was even whether we should include a minimum sentence, and I think you were in the discussion that we had to say imprisonment could be combined from the
state. The discussion was about the term of imprisonment, whether it should be a minimum or not, but all the rest of the act refers to fine or imprisonment. So if we're going to stick to imprisonment, then why are we not sticking to it throughout the whole act? At the moment, it says only imprisonment here, but the rest is fine or imprisonment. So we need to decide whether it must be the same to us.
But I think when we discussed it the next week, we were saying we want to send it from the state because of the possibility of abuse of fingerprints. That's what I'm saying. So the message that they have access to Omaha, to Department of Transport, to our fingerprints, all of us, the abuse might be, and we're saying this must actually send a clear message that if you are found doing that, you go to prison. As we can discuss that, that's what they understand. If we say a fine, of course, yes, but even if it is 20,000, I can still pay 20,000, but I could have caused a lot of damage to somebody else. But let's discuss it. The Honorable George?
No, I guess that we decided that there will be no fine. So that's why I don't understand when we bring up open the issue of fine. But I think all applicants must be in the decision which tells the police. They commit it. Well, it's just something like you do it to avoid the corruption. It's only the done that avoid the corruption. So there must be clear
message. Are we sticking to the 15 years no option?
Then it must be the same for operators there as well. That's what I'm saying. If we say no imprisonment, then that's fine, but there are other sections that say fine or imprisonment. So if we agree that it must be only imprisonment, then all the other sections must stay the same. As we get to, we'll get to them just now. But I mean, there are others that say fine or imprisonment. So I don't see that why this particular section should only say imprisonment, but the rest of them say fine or imprisonment. That's what I'm saying. There's a few consequences.
Chair, can I suggest that we keep that in mind, but let's deal with it as we get.
You said not exceeding punishment. There's been some discussion on the number of years, but we said imprisonment for a period not exceeding. So it can still be 1 year, it can still be 2 months, but it should not exceed. That's what we are saying, but we're trying to send a message that you don't, you're all the person for sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Subclause 7 is the mirror image of the one that we've discussed now about the relationship with the Child Justice Act of the Patent Mistake Act. Subclause 8, the National Commissioner must destroy the fingerprint of a child upon receipt of a certificate of expulsion in terms of Section 874. I think we've discussed that as well. That must be in the book.
It's a certificate must be capital, expungement must be capital, and must have an E in it, E N G. But you know, for a certificate, it must be capital I start. And of course, yeah, section 7, which I presume we're going to come back to, of course, the implication of what the statement is that maybe only maintained on the draft base if they are convicted of Schedule 1 sentence. We were, of course, referring to the other schedule, which would mean automatic destruction and not retention on the draft base. So I don't know that this doesn't actually solve the problem, but we probably need to discuss it further.
Madam Chair, on the issue of certificate, I agree with the expansion of the emails being there, but in the Child Justice Act, the reference is actually the certificate, and as we said, we need not repeat a mistake if it is a mistake, but I think it's, we just use the reference as a block in the Child Justice Act. If the decision of the committee is not the capital, we need to make it. Okay, well, I think it's important to have this obligation in irrespective of what's in the Child Justice Act to confirm that the one state is functional to if there's an obligation on that. My Madam Chair, subparagraph 4 of subsection 1 applies to any person convicted of any crime, irrespective of the sentence, including any person serving such a sentence at the time of commencement, and where applicable, any person released on parole in respect of such sentence. Irrespective of the fact that such a person was convicted of the offence in question prior to the commencement of the section. There were no amendments in this regard, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, 36C, there were no amendments, if I remember correctly, here. Pardon, Madam Chair, as well.
Madam Chair, I'm in the second.
Yeah, I've got nothing at this stage. To remind that you actually have to decide to get collapsed into one single document on the provisional investigation.
You know, you have a long submission here from the government, and that is why I was expecting that you're going to be Sunday. Because I tried to really myself that I think you're going to talk to me.
Actually, which one are you going to which document are you referring to? I'm sorry, sir, I must apologize. I think we have lost some track of
the information.
Okay. Yes, now that's it. That's it. This long part that falls away, that is because it's being collapsed in a new floor. Which is the just at the bottom there of my document 16. So all these things that are deleted are actually combined in the 16 to 16.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 36C, Madam Chair, is the issue about the fingerprints that can be taken of a group of persons without a warrant. Madam Chair, there were no amendments on that part, and just maybe you go through it quickly. These official may without warrant take fingerprints or body prints of a person or group of persons if they are reasonable grounds. You suspect that the person or one or more of the persons in that group has committed an offence referred to Schedule 1. So it's only limited to say Schedule 1, and believe that the person or the result of an examination thereof will be of value in the investigation by excluding or including one or more of the persons as possible perpetrators of the offence. Secondly, persons taken in terms of this section may be examined for the purposes of the investigation of the relevant offence or cause to be so examined and be subjected to a comparative search or cause to be so examined. Sub 3A, subject to paragraph C, any fingerprints, and Maria proposed that we insert here, or body prints taken under any power conferred by this section. One may, upon the conviction of the person, be detained after it has fulfilled the purposes for which it was taken or analyzed. And Madam Chair, elsewhere in the text, everywhere where there was reference to this last part, after it has fulfilled the purposes for which it was taken or analyzed, there's also a proposal from Nadia that, that the that that last part is deleted. Just by my upon the conviction of the person being paid full stop. And that is throughout the text that she has made that comment now. Thank you, Madam Chair. Next sub 2, Roman 2, again is the clause that we've already discussed on the convicted on children and the alignment that we will look at. Sub 3, in the case where a decision was made not to prosecute a person, if the person is found not guilty or if his conviction is set aside by a superior court, or if he or she is discharged as a preparatory, and we insert the examination to align with the previous discussion. But if not criminal, if no criminal proceedings with reference to such fingerprints or body prints were instituted against the person concerned in any court, or if the prosecution that declines to prosecute must be destroyed within 30 days after having been notified that such event as referred to in this paragraph. Sub B.
The 50 days, is that sufficient time for that to get, I mean, thinking of the courts and the overload and the cases, got to get back to presuming the original station, and they've got to pass through, they all get there, so it's 120 cases, they've now got to say, okay, the person's found not guilty, then that's got to go to the database. I don't know, are we not going to be ending up with a lot of police who are now criminals, because that's not the 50 day limit. I don't know, I'm guessing, and I think we sum up the figure, so I'd like some sort of input from someone in the
business. It was discussed, and we, for that reason, we actually asked the Minister to know to attend the last meeting. And I think the committee was very clear that this was after having received the notification at the criminal record centre. So it's not after the decision has been made somewhere, it's after that notice has reached the criminal record centre. And I think the Commissioner can now confirm that we can do it in 30 days. Of course, he is here today, he can confirm that Chair, I don't want to speak on behalf of the people who must actually execute this. We can just get confirmation from him as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This should be the time period of the meeting. Today, the subsequent time is not yet about the time that we need to do.
I will remember that we discussed as well, it doesn't matter maybe more to their confidence, but then just as they are having been notified at the criminal record
case. For the mere fact that we are asking to do it, because it's not the, yeah, it's not, so it must be clear that the deputies are what we're referring to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, indeed fingerprints, and we propose to insert here and body prints, which may be retained in terms of this section may only be used for purposes related to the detection of crime, investigation of an offence, or the conduct of the prosecution, and then the consequential amendment relating to the unidentified bodies, to just that it is the text. Paragraph C, paragraph A, 1 and 2 does not prohibit the use of any fingerprints taken under any power confirmed by this section for the purposes of establishing if a person has been convicted of an offence, and once again the human remains and missing persons. Any person who uses or who allows the use of the fingerprints or the proposal from Nadia when he says we are after fingerprints or body prints, as referred to in this section, for any purpose that is not related to the detection of crime, the investigation of an offence or the conduct of the prosecution is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine and imprisonment not exceeding 15 years, and once again the consequential amendment.
There is my fine or imprisonment, so it doesn't take part in that.
No.
ancestors have told you what are about to
be. The fingerprints and bodyprints referred to in paragraph A must be stored on the database maintained by the National Commissioner as provided from Chapter 5A, the SAP Act. And then the National Commissioner must destroy the fingerprints of a child upon receipt of the certificate of expungement in terms of Section 87(4) of the Child Justice Act. Okay, the following clause 3.
Certificate of expungement.
Yeah. Clause 3, Madam Chair, powers in respect of body prints and body appearance of accused and convicted persons. Any police official knows that the fingerprints, palm prints, or footprints that is removed from the text. Here we are working with the existing text that's been amended. And we insert body prints or may cause any such prints to be taken. And then in Roman paragraph 2, the part in square brackets is removed there, or going under section 72. That was also a recommendation from Jan, if I remember correctly. And then, Madam Chair, the text remains the same until Roman 6, to just insert there of any person deemed under section 37(6) to have been convicted in respect of any offence which the Minister has been noticed in the Gazette. Dictated in the fence for the purposes of the sub-paragraph. In sub-B, make a person referred to in paragraph A, insert all paragraph A1 or 2 of section 36B1, and C to insert, just to, for gender sensitivity, take such text as he or she may be necessary. And then the insertion once again to reference to paragraph A1 or 2 of section 36B1. Okay, indeed, just the position of photographs, substitution thereof by photographic image, wherever it occurs, and then the reference to paragraph A1 or 2 section of section 36(1). And here in 2A, we have deleted the reference to district surgeons. And then inserted the reference underlined part in paragraph A1 or 2 of section 36(1). And then B, if any registered medical practitioner attached to any hospital is on reasonable grounds of the opinion that the contents of the blood of any person admitted to such hospital or medical attention or treatment may be relevant at any later criminal proceedings, such medical practitioner may take a blood sample of such person, of course, such sample to be taken. Madam Chair, in the previous text there was a proviso to that, provided that such a medical practitioner must take the sample if requested by a police official. And I am not sure, Madam Chair, I'm just asking the question that is it correct indeed that we have deleted that part of the
Chair, page 13, and it says no police official should take a blood sample where the gender is different. I'm sorry, you can't have some police official of any description taking blood. How are they going to know how to rule that? It's actually page 13, C, 37. 37(1)(c) is at the top of page 13, and it says that basically the police official, as long as they're the same sex, they can take blood. Well, I mean, I know many people who couldn't take blood if you paid them to. So it's got to be a medical practitioner. Am I wrong?
Madam Chair, if I could assert there, this is about the ascertainment of body features, not the detection of blood or fingerprints. Injuries or scars or like tattoos and that type of thing.
Madam Chair, if you read that sentence, it says the provider that no police official shall take
any
platform of the person concerned, nor shall the police official make any examination of the body concerned where the gender of that person is.
So what that sentence says to me is the police official contact blood or examine the body if they have the same sex, which means any woman the police official can take my blood and any male police official can take yours. So maybe it's a problem with the English. Are you wanting to say no police official may take blood? Because that's what we had hoped you would say. Okay, this doesn't say that. So could we work on the English, please?
Yes, it doesn't. If it actually says if she's my sex, then she can. Actually not if she's not. That's what it's saying.
Yeah. Why are we referring to that topic here? If we are dealing with bodily infection, why are we referring to that topic?
Madam Chair, I think we discussed this. This is the basically the present provision in terms of which blood can, if we remove it, yeah, there's no provision in terms of which the police can actually take a blood sample. Cause it to be taken, Madam Chair. Yeah.
Can I suggest an amendment? Can we say no person, no police official shall take any blood for alcohol of any person at all, comma, nor shall the police official make. Is that clear enough? I think so.
Madam Chair, to make sure we can include in the consent as well, I think it's probably more, clinically more correct than that.
Can I add to that? Yes, that the citizenship also goes to the positive in terms of it. That is, that the police official must be of the same gender as the person in question. If we can put it in the positive.
And I think you were talking to the medical practitioner after being requested, being expected, or having to do it. Okay, now let's continue. I think you were into A. That is where you were. Can you bring the issue you were raising?
Madam Chair, it was in on B, in B. At the end of B, there was a proviso in the previous text that has been removed, which said that whenever a medical practitioner is requested by a police official. And I seem to recall that there was a discussion on that, and that there has been an obligation on the medical practitioner to actually take the blood sample. And that has been removed. I think it's very important. I just want to confirm. I seem to think that it should still be in the text.
In fact, I don't know. I think I'll quote there. 2A, any medical officer of any prison, any prescription, or if requested thereto by any police official, any registered medical practitioner or registered nurse may take such test, may. Should it be made?
Yes, yes. We discussed the issue of the review of the refugee and some of the issues of the protocol for the National Commission of the Police to be instructed for people to be doctors and nurses are not looking for the people. When you assume doctors and nurses in this kind of residence, there's just nothing below abiding, you know that. But it must not, sometimes police come to what they have seen under the influence, they give instructions to one problem in the city. So that's why you say name, not mass, because if you say mass, it means any police, including hospital, is just an instruction to a doctor from a professional.
Yes, Chair, if I remember correctly, there was also a difficulty in that if once a patient comes in, they may be critical and need urgent
mental attention, and now you've got a constable saying you will take a blood sample right now when they've already lost a ton of blood, and they're saying this would actually put that person's life at risk, and then if we put in masks, they have the right to literally force them to do that. So it's not up to us to determine health situations.
I'm not voting. Madam Chair, this is the position at the moment. We've never experienced similar situations as outlined just now. The difficulty that we are being faced with, unless it is in the act, we have a problem because a medical practitioner may not take a blood sample from a person. It's unethical for him to take a blood sample from a person unless it is for the purposes of medical treatment. Now, since that is unethical, there should be a legal obligation on him to do so when requested by a police official. And when a police official requests it, it doesn't mean that a medical practitioner must stop treating the patient and now first take a blood sample. That's not the case. But on the other hand, if that person, law does not oblige the medical practitioner to do it. He can say, but in terms of my ethical rule, I can only do something which will be hurtful to the person if it is proper for the purposes of giving him medical treatment. And that removes that ethical responsibility from that person, so they can do it.
I don't understand.
Madam Chair, let me just explain. We have two situations where we have one where the medical practitioner himself decides. This is a patient coming in. I think we will require evidence afterwards on whether he was drunk or not. For him. Then he takes the sample and stores it. The second possibility, that is where he may do it. The second part, which is the current law in terms of the current criminal procedure, is when he is requested by a police official, he must do so. That's the existing law as it stands right now. And all we are asking is that we do not change that, because these are the issues that I've outlined, the ethical issues, etc., that are involved.
And it does create problems, then I can tell you. But I think we can leave it at this. But it's not like you said, where when you said we have the heart arrest, you would shout for any doctor. And it could be somebody who cares. They would tell you that go to the watchdog. They say that. I'm just saying it. I can tell you they will not wake up at night. Because they have a name. They would not come for cut that arrest to the wall. Because I think it's fine. It's fine. As a matter of fact, I would go for an option that puts an obligation on it. Of course, a doctor will always prioritize and balance. It's not about a police doing this, they but miss the doctor. You give a person a chance with your name, I know. But that's really sad because I think you are great. It's not like you will George.
Your explanation persuades me, I don't know, I'll be able to persuade others. See, Commissioner Hardenay said this is a situation that exists now, and there has been no problem. And I'm saying, I was thinking of doing why not? Because I also, as you were speaking, you are right. Today's people are not like us who are more than 6 years. Today's people are very complicated. Today's people are very complicated. And they don't behave in a manner. I'm afraid I'm not one of us. I want to persuade Greg, but he doesn't seem to be to care. Well, my conclusion is that I think, especially that Commissioner Khalil says this thing is in there, there's no problem. Let's leave it like that. If there are any problems with the people, then let's look at it. But if they've been operating and there's been no problem, let's leave it like that.
Okay, I'm inclined to agree that I think, to be honest, that Matt, if you question about if it needs official unreasonable grounds, something like that. Because, yeah, I think you're right, it's not only non South African doctors, I don't think, I think there are many doctors who are South African who don't have the same ethos as doctors used to have. And if they don't have to, then they're not going. So I would be inclined to agree with the honourable gentleman.
The only problem I've got there, and I understand the need to have the blood sample because of school reasons or other, we need blood alcohol levels, we need all sorts of things. I understand that completely. But we can't have constables giving all this stuff. So I'm wondering if the constables are only from the hospital. And if that's the hospital, whoever, as you're not sure the hospital is
not the concept. It will be the act that will be selling good and the doctor will know. So when the constable or whoever comes to the hospital, the doctor will be doing it as according to the act than the constable. So I don't think that I shiver when we leave it at the discretion of a doctor to decide to do it or not. You know, I think I let it go. I have experience of that. They will not wake up at night, they won't. He might be in sick session, they will not wake up paid, they won't wake up at night. Not like that.
Especially 12 o'clock on a Sunday.
Another issue, I just think they need to look at that whole paragraph and see if it doesn't really. I mean, if you look at this paragraph, it doesn't really. It is terrible. Because it seems like you've got to take a blood sample to determine whether the body of each person, the person or the above subsection, has even more characteristics or the significant feature. I think it's the blood sample is for the condition or that's why I say it needs to be worded. Because really, the way that it's worded here is really bad. Exactly. The blood sample should refer to the condition. And the examination should refer to whether the person's got distinguishing mark characteristics.
Thank you. I don't want to confuse the issue, but let me just give you one example. The fact that a person has a certain medical condition, a sickness, let's say it's a, that is a distinguishing feature of that person's body, characteristic.
What this paragraph says is that when the person meets the official, the medical practitioner can take such steps, including the taking of blood, to ascertain whether they have a mark or characteristic or a distinguishing feature or a condition. How can the taking of blood tell you if you have a distinguishing feature? Blood doesn't talk. So it's just, believe me, the sentence doesn't. This entire paragraph is not anything that can be understood by anyone.
And furthermore, this example of HIV/AIDS as a distinguishing condition raises serious concerns for me. Because now we're telling the doctor to give you medical information. That's not the purpose of this. When it was explained to us the first time around, it was about drug abuse, it was about alcohol in the blood, it was about things like that. That there is no reason for any of these officers to know whether a person has HIV or AIDS. You can see this. There's the right information system to determine that. But it's definitely not the right police to determine whether the person is HIV positive or whether the person's got measles as Mr. Lavana has been saying, or whether the person's got Congo fever for that matter. But that's what the police are.
Yes, that is perfectly correct. The point is that the separate legislation, sexual offences legislation, making provision for exactly that, to determine HIV, the HIV status of the person. However, I simply used it as an example to say that it's a distinguishing condition of that person, a distinct condition of that person.
Yeah, but I think that's a problem. Because as I said, in diabetes, for instance, simple, straightforward condition, chronic, common, no problem, stigma attached, nothing. But may necessarily not want you to know that. It's between me and my doctor. And if you're going to distinguish me with my diabetes, I think, ethically, it's a dilemma for me.
Entire section 2A, I'm sorry, number one, it doesn't make any sense to read it through, includes the taking of a blood sample to determine whether they have a mark on it or a distinguishing feature. I mean, it's just a nonsense. This entire section is gobbledygook, and please don't take another 3 months to work out how to make it convince an English speaking person that it makes sense, because it really, really, really makes none.
Yeah, no. What he's saying then is that the possibility is going to say we're going to move. But when we need to choose it, we must get clarity on this one. Either we remove it or we get a clear explanation of what it means on choosing. Otherwise, we are open. I would also request number 248, but I think we probably need to take and rewrite or rewrite it or delete. But it must definitely mean something, if it must be written. Yes, we can continue, and just move fast.
Madam Chair, paragraph 3, it's only the insertion thereof, reference to section 36B and insertion of body prints instead of palm prints and footprints. And then there was four lines from the bottom of A. Just A that has been inserted, including the taking of A blood sample, chromatically. Subparagraph 4, also just the substitution of body prints instead of palm footprints and photographic image instead of photograph. And Chair 5 was the division of that original wording in the Act and then insertion of any fingerprints, body prints, and photographic images taken under. Any trial concluded by this section may be the subject of a comparative search. 6A, subject to subsection 7, the documents and photographic images taken under any power conferred by this section and the record of steps taken under this section may upon the conviction of the person be retained. And then the proposal from Nadia to delete the rest of the sentence there to stop, full stop after being retained. And then paragraph 2, the one that we've already discussed in relation to the Child Justice Act. And then 3, in the case where the decision was made to prosecute not to prosecute the person, if the person is found not guilty of this trial, or if his or her conviction is set aside, or if he or she is discharged at a preparatory examination, or if no criminal proceedings have reference to such fingerprints or body prints. And then I just propose that we include here all photographic images, because those are included in the rest of the text here. That must be destroyed then within 30 days after the notification has been received, and then we will align it with the wording that we have used. Although we are dealing here with basically fingerprints, body prints and photographic images, so we will also refer you to the criminal record center as you can see there. D, the body prints which may be retained in terms of this section are only used for purposes related to detection of crime, also alignment here with the issue of the human remains and the missing persons. And any person who uses or allows the use of the body prints and insert here all photographic images as referred to in this section for any purpose that can be related to detection of crime, etc., and also alignment of the identification of human remains, etc. See the body prints and photographic images.
Yeah, sorry. Let's find the prayers again.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sorry, and before you move on, did you put the or in 3A on page 14? Fingerprints or palm prints. Or body prints. Fingerprints, palm prints, or body prints. It's got to be an or in there somewhere. I don't know if you're adding, you can't just have the last one's going to have an or before. So it's got to go in there, and it's got to go in B4 as well. Sorry, I'm getting food.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Then D, the pipelines and photographic images referred must be stored on a database established by the National Commissioner as provided for in Chapter 5A. The Subs Act, subsection 6, does not prohibit the use of any pipelines image taken under any powers conferred by the section for the purposes of establishing if a person has been convicted of an offence. Madam Chair, then 8, a police official must, when taking a child's fingerprints or body prints, do so in a prescribed manner, and the section must be read in accordance with the provisions of the Child Justice Act. Madam Chair, I think there was a query on this from the honourable member, Ms. Colin Barner. I want to make a suggestion here. If we go to page 28 of the book, you will find there's also a provision for the Minister of Police to make a regulation, which is actually very similar to the provision here. And the proposal I want to make is that actually this one should be deleted in order that the, otherwise you will have two ministers making regulations on the same topic. And whilst we have made provision on page 28 for the Minister of Police to make regulations in that regard. And I think the provision on page 28 is actually more explicit in the sense that it contains more flesh in terms of what not to contain.
Just on this, I don't have a problem with that, only I have one minute to make some regulations. But 8 deals we be explicit in this exactly? Why can't we be explicit in how it should be done in this section? Don't leave it to regulations, again, because we're dealing with the work. And I don't know what the Commission from Charles does as around the fingerprinting says, but put it in the legislation. Say, if it says there's got to be an adult or present, then let's be safe. At least official must be taking child fingerprints or body prints, do so, and then list the way it needs to be done. For me, it's different, again, because we are being. I don't have a problem with the regulations in that 1 minute to make regulations, and that should be the minister of police in terms of fingerprint taking in general. But I think we have all along been sensitive about children and the way the children are treated. And the Child Justice Act is also a new act for the police. And we saw that we saw questions of the regulations. So let's be specific.
Chair, I remember extremely clearly that one of the gentlemen, maybe you for your operation, said that they had instances where they would have a child climbing over a wall, and there is a buttock imprint on the wall. Now they want to take a buttock imprint thing. Print of some description. Now, I'm sorry, we can't say in the prescribed manner. What are they going to say? That three officers, three men are going to hold a 10-year-old down, take his trousers down, and take an imprint. What's the prescribed manner? Tell me what this is, where is it laid out, who prescribed it, and where I can read it if it's not there for me. Please.
Yeah, thank you. I also don't like the prescribed manner because we're going to be prescribed for about 5 years and then people are going to decide in the meantime how they're going to do it. And I don't think it's fair. I also don't think it takes 38 years adequately out of us children. I don't think there should be any discretion whatsoever that the minister may make regulations regarding the right of a child to be afforded for family, parental, or appropriate care. I mean, I think we should be quite clear and say that any child who has a fingerprint or body can take it. And may only be said in the presence of an adult guardian or parent, or legal advisor of children.
See, I remember the reaction to Catholic after we actually did agree that there had to be an adult present. We discussed it. So I'm not sure why we now don't have that in here, but we did definitely discuss it. I remember we agreed. Quite a long discussion.
No, I do, because we definitely didn't, and we said. In fact, it was after they raised this problem, what happens if there's not an adult set of different things. But you do it according to that. And now you will understand why I don't like it when we get to these meetings, when we don't have the clean and bold as we are supposed to have to look at it. Because it becomes easy for us to do that. And it becomes easy to sneak certain stuff back in. And it becomes easy to remove stuff that we agreed upon. We definitely agreed that it should be this itself and now we should do that. We definitely disagree.
Madam Chair, I'm also in agreement. All I'm saying is, if you look at page 38, I think what most of the members as relative is included in those regulations that the Minister of Police can make. The Minister may, in terms of this act or any other act that requires the taking of fingerprints or body prints, make regulations relating to the right of the child to be afforded with family, parental, or appropriate care, etc. And the manner and methods employed by police officials in taking fingerprints or body prints. Now, here what the Honourable Member Ms. von Reich said about maybe the 2 ministers together. But using the word prescribed in the Criminal Procedure Act, the word prescribed is not defined there. So all that I suggested is that maybe we look at one regulation power in terms of the thing instead of 2 acts dealing separately with the Madam Chair.
I never said
2 minutes of doing it together. I've never said not at all. What I'm saying is, we don't want to meet this regulation. That's what I'm saying. We exist without. We don't want to meet with the regulations. When we are dealing with children, we want to see that the way it should be done. And what we are saying is, align it with what the child has currently been doing. That's simple as that.
And here, exactly what I said is, this doesn't make any provision. Because the minister may make regulations. Empowering the minister to make is not about the minister. And if he doesn't make regulations, then what? Then there's nothing that says whether the child has to have a person here or not. We need to say in the act, no child may have fingerprints, body prints, or whatever, or blood or whatever else taken, unless there is an adult guardian or parent there. It doesn't say that. And if we don't have regulations for another 5 years, then it's almost not as big. That's what we're saying.
Madam Chair, yes. The Child Justice Act contains a number of provisions, I think, but it does not specifically specify it. And if the members want that, we will draft it to ensure that it is included in the Act. The Child Justice Act requires the National Commission to issue national instructions that refers to Parliament and regulations from the Minister of Justice that refers to Parliament and is approved by Parliament before it's published in the Gazette. So that process is in any event ongoing, but there is no reason why we cannot include it in this Act specifically.
Okay, let's continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Section 212, the amendment to that in Clause 4, Madam Chair, is throughout, and that's actually from page 17 right to the end of page 22. It's actually just that those alignment with inserting the issues about common footprints, substituting of body prints. Except for the reference of the provincial administration that is inserted on page 18, page 19 is the same issues, palm print that reads now body print, and the insertion of National Health Act instead of the Postmortem Examinations Act. On page 20, again, the issue of palm print that is substituted with body print.
So page 19, right bottom 8A, why is it dealing with tissue? Is that an existing provision?
Correct, Madam Chair, it's an existing provision. Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 20, then all the amendments are the reference to me and she for the gender sensitivity, reference to provincial administration, and the rest of that body print instead of form print. On page 21, clause 5, also existing provision, the substitution for palm print of the footprint with body print, and the same on page 22, as well as a reference to the new sections 36B and 36C or 47. Madam Chair, if there's no discussion on that, the next part is then the insertion of Chapter 5A regarding the database in SAP for storage and use of fingerprints. New Clause 15A, the National Commission must ensure that fingerprints, body prints, and photographic image taken in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act, Arms Control Act, Explosives Act, and any order of the Department of Correctional Services are stored, maintained, administered, and readily available. There were no changes from the previous set. We will just align that first line of 15A with the National Commissioner to delete the Criminal Procedure Act. Sub 2, there was no amendment. Sub 3, there was no amendment. Sub 4, subject to subsection 5, the fingerprints, both prints, and photographic images referred to 19C shall only be used for purposes related to the detection of crime, investigation of an offence. 4 and 5 will also align with the previous discussions on the identification of remains, unidentified remains, as well as missing persons. 6 images in user will allow the use of fingerprints, body prints, and photographic images for any purpose that's not related to the circumstances set out in 4 and 5, the guilty as in the case. There the fine is already gone. 15b, we will align 15b also with the identification of bodies and missing persons. And then instruct to any person who conducts a comparative search as contemplated in subsection 1 for any purpose that's not related to the circumstances, we will remove the fine there. Then the issue of national instructions, 15c. The National Commissioner must. Madam Chair, I'm not sure about the same consultation with the Minister. In terms of the Such Act, the National Commissioner is subject to the direction of the Minister. I'm not sure whether we should also, we can do it if the committee is interested in assisting that specific body. But it's not a problem. Issue national instructions regarding all matters which are reasonable or necessary or expedient to be provided for in relation to this chapter and which must be followed by all police officials, including the following. And then, Madam Chair, the collection of fingerprints, body prints, and the taking of photographic images. The question arises on whether we should not include here body samples because this is about instructions that must be given to police officers. And although we are mainly dealing with fingerprints and body prints, that is just a question of Commissioner Kalman has raised it. In the manner in which the statistics must be kept by the division of the service responsible for criminal records, you recall, Madam Chair, there was this was consequential amendment to align it everywhere where we have reference to the criminal records center. Two, the National Commission must develop training courses with reference to the national instructions referred to in subsection 1. There was no mention in that part.
Totally we can take a test.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 15D is the issue about security measures. The committee will recall that we picked this from the protection of data protection bill. And we basically followed the wording of that act. Because I don't think we've discussed it previously, I will just quickly run through it. The National Commissioner must secure the integrity of information on the database provided for this chapter by taking appropriate, reasonable, technical, and organizational measures to prevent the loss of, damage to, or unauthorized destruction of information on the database and unlawful access to or processing of information on the database. In order to give effect to subsection 1, the National Commissioner must take reasonable measures to identify all reasonably foreseeable internal and external risks to information on the database under his or her control. Establish and maintain appropriate safeguards against the risks identified, and regularly verify the safeguards that the safeguards are effectively implemented, and ensure that the safeguards are continually updated in response to new risks or deficiencies in previously implemented safeguards. 3. The National Commissioner must have due regard to generally accepted information security practices and procedures which may apply to the service generally or be required in terms of specific laws and regulations in respect of security of information suitable to the service. Madam Chair, I think that will include the protection of information role that I think the security department is working on. The National Commissioner may develop standard operating procedures in concurrence with the Directors General, who capitalized the G of General of State Departments regarding access to the databases and the implementation of safety measures to protect the integrity of information contained on the databases. Madam Chair, 7 is the regulations we have discussed. We will deal with this.
I just want to remind us about 4. Is it adequate in terms of I'm thinking about the other departments? Is this now the way it's worded? And I'm looking at the English speaking people in the room. Is it adequate to say that it's not the National Commissioner who's doing it? Is the inconcurrence enough? Because, I mean, we remember we discussed it that he doesn't want the Minister of Home Affairs to say, look, you're not going to decide what my database, a standing operating procedure for accessing my database is going to be. It's got to be a joint thing. They've got to have a memorandum of understanding between the different departments, transport, home affairs, police. It can't be the National Commissioner who takes decision of the on standing on the procedure for the police to access this.
I just want to know what happens if the commissioner doesn't put these names in place. Should we not put that imprisonment clause in here as well? What if he doesn't do it, Emma?
I think we can follow the same route as what the Prime Minister has inserted elsewhere.
DG of those departments must apply.
and the obligation to be delivered to him or to her, if you were to develop the country. Because I foresee a situation where there's investigation, and now this must occur, and time is running out, and that's why I don't know how to put it, but I think once the National Commission or an actor or criminal or investigative procedure is underway, those DGs must apply to give that action. I am looking for something like that. I'm not worried about the discussion which ended when crime must be investigated.
Doing that is touching on what we discussed yesterday in terms of police states and being careful of that. What we're saying is they must work out a procedure on how it's going to be done. There's no choice in this. We can put a deadline to it as well. Because we also have an obligation to protect the integrity of home affairs databases, to protect the integrity of transport database, and Ms. Kulabana just reminded me, Correctional Services is involved as well. We've also got an obligation in that regard. And I think what we need to do is to put an obligation on all four DGs, such Home Affairs, Correctional Services, and Transport, must develop standing operation procedures. And they must also determine how they're going to protect their integrity. That's the B part of it, if I'm not mistaken, the security part of it. And we can add a time frame to it. And I think it's not unfair for us to add a time frame to say, by this time it must be there and it must come back to court.
I actually think that the safety measures must be in place before this actually even starts. Because it's all very well putting a time limit, but what happens in the meantime? If we give them access and for 6 months to a year they can do whatever, and then only after that then we say they have to have proper measures in place. Can we not say prior, in order to, under Subsection 2, in order to give effect to Subsection 1, National Commissioner must take reasonable measures prior to the implementation of the Act?
Suggestion to deal with all foreseeable internal and external risks. So in other words, they must take the reasonable measures before we can implement this. You can't implement something and say, okay, in a year's time, we must really make sure it's secure. I mean, that's just nonsense. It's got to be secure from day one. We can't have people allowing access to home affairs database, but it's not secure. And next thing, we've got a total catastrophe. So the security must be in place from day one before anything is implemented.
I think we must be very careful to say before anything is implemented. We might want to limit it to full subscan access to the databases of other departments. But in the meantime, the rest of the Act can actually be implemented in terms of then taking fingerprints, taking body prints, starting to populate their databases, such databases. But that we say, before you access, before subscan actually access, the other databases, Correctional Services, Home Affairs, and Transport, those security members of standing of operating procedures, motor and memorandum of understanding, must be completed. I mean, if this is my time to this, and see if we're not going to do this, then anything else that we've done in terms of removing people's fingerprints who are not found guilty, taking special consideration on children, falls out of the way of wider side if we're not going to do this. Because then all the things, checks and balances that we put into this legislation is actually null and void, because they can access innocent people's data on the database if they without any security.
I think I have. But I'm with the National Commissioner, Master of Standards. I want to believe that maybe somebody was thinking about a person who's going to initiate, who's going to be accountable should that start not happen. Now, if it is the three of them or four of them, all of them will say, I'm waiting for whoever to call me to a meeting. I think this was trying to put some emphasis on a particular person who can actually be held accountable should it not happen. I think so. In fact, I'm not saying we must take this as a, but I think maybe we should introduce the principle of a person having to lead whatever process of processing in one way or another. Otherwise, if all of them are at the same level, none will do it, and you go to blame, and you have home affairs, for instance, very day, nothing much to benefit out of this end.
Suggestion there would be to have as the overall the buck stops here, I think this is and you say overseen or approved by or whatever the minister of police. So you have the four or commissioner and three DG for the part, and the final buck stops with the minister, because there's no way you can suggest that the National Police Commissioner is somehow a bigger deal, although he can be called something else apparently in his spare time. But it doesn't make him a bigger deal than the DGs of the other divisions. And there's going to be, you know, four balls and a penalty and disaster. So you need one overall person to say, this bill is under my ministry, this is what we need. There is, you know, obviously after the agreement has been signed, someone's got to take the buck and push the project forward. So that would be my suggestion.
Madam Chair, I'm not going to question that, but I'm worried I will be said in concurrence. In concurrence to me means if they don't agree and they can't move. That's my worry. And here we're dealing with investigation of crimes, sometimes serious crimes. But that's why, because if you say that in concurrence, you know, the attitude. This year from home affairs, just I'm not going to be told by police how to do my work.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, things are getting out of the. So I'm saying that we should be changing our judgment. He needs to take it to the minister, go to the state. They will say, we're not going to take out of the instruction. And the other minister still going to say, well, that's why I wanted a legal obligation by law. Because then, there is no minister, no DG, if something rested, this must be done. But I will not confuse. Okay.
What's your suggestion?
My suggestion was that there must be because we're dealing here with crime, we're not talking general. We're dealing here with criminal offenses. And police are responsible for enforcing laws to prevent crime and to make sure that criminals are arrested. And on that basis, irrespective of that digital statement, the National Commission on this case must have some power to make sure that things happen. And the other DGs must apply.
I agree with what you're saying. This was the challenge here, but it's sad that we have to spend so much time about what to discuss how we're going to make sure that people do the job that they're actually supposed to do. It's a really, really sad idea to do that. But for me, it's about the fact that we are talking about the integrity of other departments' databases as well. And I think that is where we need to find a balance. And I don't have a problem that we say, and I'm sure we can do so, I'm trying to remember the corporate legislation where we say, under the chairmanship of the National Commissioner. But you say the National Commissioner, the DG of Home Affairs, the DG of Correctional Services, and the DG of Transport must develop the following. Not must develop, under the chairmanship of the National Commissioner. And we put the time frame to it as well. Well, we said they can't implement this in any case, but let's put the time frame. And this cannot be longer than 15 months after this
control traffic to that.
So there's really nothing new except the alignment with the
provisions we were adding in the Criminal Procedure Act. On page 31, once again the issue on the bottom of the page in sub 2, child convicted of an offence, etc., etc., to align that, and we have discussed that principle being accepted by the committee. And here on page 32, again the destruction of fingerprints, body prints. Indeed, also the issue about the unidentified bodies and even the remains, I'm just not sure if it's really included here. Amendment of Section 1 of Act 15, the Explosives Act, and really this is just again an alignment on what is in the Power of Control Act. Authorized person already read as we have proposed. And then version of the definition of a child, of course, being the comparative search definition. Amendment of Section 9 of Act 15 of 2003, once again alignment, reference to body parts, body prints instead of fingerprints, and you're writing that body prints there.
In the initial definition, will you then put the definition of what these bodily samples are? Because at the moment it's just, okay, let's go to another act to find out what the definition is there, and when I have an act in front of me, is it somewhere, where are we going to put it? So we can't not have a definition of it, because a bodily sample can be anything. And I'm sorry, it's just a little too open for my comment.
Yeah, Madam Chair, at the moment, I believe body sample is not, is also not defined in the Criminal Procedure Act.
In fact, you're quoting the Firearm Act, if I remember, Amendment Act.
Is
it defined there?
Also not.
If we did that together, how did we get that to truth? You and I have definitely this whole book. I can't believe that. There's got to be a definition somewhere. I mean, a bodily sample can be a lot of things.
I think, Madam Chair, that was with the split of the book. There were those definitions of internet and non-internet samples and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing issues which I thought you were kind of bring them back?
Yeah. That's what we sample. We have a previously.
It's already like, it's a name. It means something. This is not in the name.
Okay.
You know, it's what is the sample? Can it really mean head? Can it really mean the it means so many things. If it is not defined anywhere, I don't know what to think. Because it's here in this job. And surely there must be a definition which is really interesting. I think I'll be reading it.
Madam Chair, I think yes, you are perfectly correct. The difficulty can be with the system. So bodily samples are normally used for DNA purposes. So when the bill was flipped, it was made very clear that no reference to DNA should be included in this. Now, bodily samples may be used for DNA purposes, but in some very limited circumstances, it will also, they are being used without reference to DNA. And that includes the instance where the blood sample is taken to determine the blood alcohol level, not intoxication, but the degree to which the person is under the influence of drugs. These things are not covered in DNA, because you are not interested in the DNA of the sample. And I think that's where the difficulty arises. If we talk about bodily samples, they can be used for one purpose, namely to determine whether a person is drunk or not, but bodily samples may also be used to determine DNA of the person. And I think that's really key. So if we now say that we must define bodily samples, it's going to be difficult, because if you define it, in order to define it in a way that it does not cover the idea of DNA samples, it's going to be extremely difficult. It will simply mean that it makes provision also for DNA detection.
Yeah, if I can just make then your life a lot easier. Let's just take it up, because it is not relevant in this book. The only reference we have made to anything other than print is blood. So we can easily put in there all blood samples. But bodily samples belong in that old bullet. It does not belong in this bullet. It should have been removed. It shouldn't be there. Anyway. Because that is not getting passed up, I'm sorry. Way too late, not fine.
Are we going to, is it possible to move body samples in the daily sample so that we don't have to define, for example?
If we refer to blood samples, that would be fine.
Yeah.
To blood samples. I can't understand you, Mr. Holland.
Until you asked whether we can replace bodily samples with blood samples. And I said, yes, if we replace bodily samples with blood samples, that is fine. The difficulty that you must understand, and I think that it's important that the committee take note of that. At the moment, even before the coming into operation of DNA legislation, we are utilizing the Criminal Procedure Act to gather bodily samples in order to extract DNA, although there is not a specific authorization. So we are doing it at the moment, and it's an extremely valuable tool in the fight against crime. So if we now do this, it means that we will only have blood and nothing else from which we can extract DNA at this stage, without the DNA database and without anything else.
Is it not possible that we're talking about the chapter within the criminal procedure? So it is not possible that you don't have to remove it in the Criminal Procedure Act. What we're saying is in this chapter you remove it, and then under your definitions you add it, for the purpose of this chapter, this definition of values of maybe from blood samples. We didn't organize more coffee. Blood samples that you put it in there. So we say for the purpose of this chapter, we're not taking it out of the Criminal Procedure Act. You can still do what you need to do. The fact that we've split the ball, it's not saying that the DNA part of what we're doing has disappeared. You're still doing it. As we sit here, you're still doing it. So it's not disappeared, it's still there. So I think let's just focus on the chapter there and not try and make it more difficult than it is, because I think we just always say we deal with the chapter within the Criminal Procedure Act. And for the purpose of this chapter, we talk about blood samples.
Now, I thought
we
were busy amending a section in the process. So this existing stuff is already here. If we take samples out now, we are going to separate these drugs, safety and alcohol. So we go on to be able to solve that question. It's not a separate chapter in the Act. We are adding these things to the Act. Am I correct? So if we approve it and take out body samples, we will then stop you being able to take DNA samples for purposes of rape and so on, and what is the other thing to get. Is that right?
Madam Chair, it's partly right and partly wrong. Obviously, you can always extract DNA from blood, but that's not the only stuff from which we extract DNA samples. We extract DNA samples from hair, from buccal swab, from swabs conducted by medical practitioners after a rape, for instance. These things are extremely important for investigative purposes. And they were done in terms of the section that will be repealed by this bill when it comes into operation. So all I'm saying is, if we take our blood samples, we are creating a problem until the DNA bill has been finalized. Or not blood samples, bodily samples. If we take our bodily samples, it means that will remove the possibility of the police to actually do that, except for blood. Now remember, I said we take more than only blood as samples.
I think we agree with that.
I think the confusion has come because we imagine who we were dealing with without. And obviously, there's a database, other bodily samples of any description. I mean, we just don't have that sort of expertise to say. So, this is why we consider this. You don't have a database of semen samples and et cetera, you want to say. We can't run the court anymore, but if this is not only relating to the grant debate that we're referring to, and this has a knock-on effect, well, obviously it's not connect. But if it only relates to the grant debate, then it doesn't. So is that, where was it? You said there was a problem there, mm-hmm. and not a problem. What was the other half of your case?
I'm very worried here. I think we discussed it, and we're very clear. That's why we said it is your, for example, who will deal with it when we the NTA deficit. Now you bring it back, and now we must again discuss what we discussed. And that's my only one. Because now you're going to make it again, that debate we had already. And I thought it'd be heavy if we restricted into blood samples.
But I think I understand what you're saying. We are processing a bill on fingerprints, and which compels us to amend the Criminal Procedure Act so that it talks to what we are doing. But at the same time, that section it has this blood sample, and we don't want to change it. Because it actually affects what they are doing now with regards to it. I think that's my understanding. So it's a section which you want to effect change because of the bill that you are processing. But at the same time, that section it allows them to do what they are doing with regards to DNA. Now, if we're changing it, then it says bodily, in fact, blood samples, it immediately affects their way. That they are doing today with the country. That's what he is saying, and that is why I think we better leave this like this. Yes. Because it does assist us in as far as fingerprints are concerned, but it allows them to continue to do their work with the country. Hey, if I'm correct, I think I am.
Madam Chair, you are perfectly correct. We must understand, yes, we can get DNA from blood, and therefore blood samples. However, we can also get DNA from other blood, from other bodily samples, like hair, etc., buccal swab.
That is why I was agreeing with you, that we leave it like this, with not blood samples, but bodily samples.
My also
add
that I think also this for Mr. George, I was also concerned about this issue, is that if you read through it as well, we're not allowing them to keep the bodily samples on the database, not in terms of this one. When we deal with the DNA database, that will become the issue. But if you read through it, I've read especially the next page, so 36D, where it talks about the fingerprints and the body prints must be put on a database, but it doesn't then again refer to bodily samples or even the blood samples. So I think for the purpose of what we are worried about, we are covered, and I think we should keep it that.
And I would help.
Oh, no.
My only small one was that the bigger wave stream takes you back to your day. Therefore, my concern that I have is that can this not be abused for? I don't need time to go into the night, but because of the period of the relationship. I mean, Jay is a mission, but I think that doesn't mean that it's interested. It may not be that you should have your own process of the day that you can be if you agree with it. And that's the kind of question. That either you will just choose as your normal day, you have the process that you never think about. You've got a better understanding. Because that is the only thing that you can do. That is just to continue.
You see, this is under Chapter 5A. Chapter 5A specifically says that the storage and use of fingerprints, body prints, and photographic images. Sorry, shall I go through this? And photographic images of persons. And then we introduce the bodily samples. So, you know, I'm going by what the chapter heading is and what the aim of that is, and then suddenly the aim changes. What am I missing? Obviously it has to be something because you seem important with what you say.
Madam Chair, the last amendment we dealt with the amendment to the Firearms Control Act and the Explosives Act, and that is where body samples are contained in the Act. And neither in the Explosives Act or the Firearms Control Act or the Criminal Procedure Act as it is at the moment, are these samples that have been defined. And I mean, that's why we were sitting in, with the bill as it was initially, to get those intimate, non-intimate samples, etc. And I think what had happened is just, you know, we were very clearly instructed to remove all references to these samples because of the spirit of the bill. But we are sitting with the present situation. That is how these acts have been for all the number of years. And I don't think it really created a problem. But I know we have to come to that part. We deal with the databases and the DNA. We will go back to all those definitions. So I think for the present, as the chairperson also rightly said, I think for the interim period, the show must go on. And I think with the present wording of the act, we can go on until we have created that legislation in terms of the database.
Chair, are we putting a definition
or not? Madam Chair, the problem, if you wish, for example, say we replace a body sample with a blood sample, you can take this, on a scene you can take samples in different ways. On a body you can take it in different ways, but when you get to the accused, if you say it must be blood sample, as Commissioner Gelder said, you can't get DNA from a blood sample, but then it will restrict you. Whenever you need a DNA sample, you can only obtain it through a blood sample. You can't do a buccal swab or anything else. You will be forced, in every case, from the suspect to obtain it through a blood sample.
Yeah, would you define, at the beginning, bodily sample? I'm very comfortable having a goal with a phrase that's not defined. Really, it's a quick one.
Madam Chair, can I also?
Is it not probably better we leave both these samples, but we explain that in case of this section, which you are dealing with, we are referring to, so that you don't remove both these samples, but in the case of this section, you're talking of blood samples. And that's what is about one thing. That because this talks about a lot of things about people sitting and then in a group. Now, if you use this body sample like this, how do we know that the person is being used even on other areas where we said we don't need it until we have a DNA verification?
I think we should not forget, this is an amendment. I just want to say that this is an amendment in that sense. So there is an act, there is a section. We are amending because of this bill that we are proposing.
Yes.
So why should we change anything else that is there in the political act? That's it. It's there and we speak as what we can hear. But we have to amend because of this bill that we are proposing.
Okay.
and I would think that really you need to connect them
Yes, I agree with my two honorable members, but we don't change anything, but we explain what positive and for me. I don't think that should be a problem. Thank you, sir.
Can you not agree with somebody in the chair for Roland? Because somebody is listening to what you think. If you restrict what is when in actual we are talking about another act, then it means it is in that act and it will be limited. And I think this is what we are trying to avoid.
I just think that, you know, I don't think we got a total consensus on those definitions of intimate, non-intimate samples, etc., etc. It takes us back there. And these acts have been working without that definition until now. And my proposal is that we proceed in that fashion until we come back to the definitions that the committee was busy with in terms of the DNA part.
And the permitter of sexuality is defining it for the purpose of this term. Why are we defining it? Because if we are to define it, by implication we're saying it will be used. I don't know. Why are we defining that? I don't know. I would think that we leave it like this. If it is defined in the principal act, well, it's fine. But if it is not defined, what are we going to use the definition going forward in this term? I mean, this case I was training this week.
I'm convinced as well that we leave it as it is, because what are we dealing with? We are dealing with the establishment of the database of fingerprints and body prints. And that's all. And this legislation is not opening a door for them to keep the database on bodily samples. That's what comes with the DNA. So I think let's leave it as it is.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. But I think it was important for the question to be answered that we agree being fully informed. Okay, continue. Then.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, Madam Chair, that actually covers all the amendments. There were no except for the alignment that was done in the Explosives Act as well. It brings us to the last clause in short part of the amendment, which there was no amendment.
The Act is called the Criminal Law for Instance of Amendment Bill Act 2009.
Madam Chair, if it will be signed by the President into law this year, it will be tipped into 2010.
Okay,
now
that
is
done. Your page, can you brief us on the front?
Madam Chair, yes, that's the proposed definition of comparative sex. Now, I immediately noticed I didn't check the title properly, so it should not be bodily prints, but the body prints. So, with that correction in mind, the definition reads as follows. Comparative search means a comparison of fingerprints, body prints, and photographic images taken under any power conferred by this chapter. Compared with what? With fingerprints or body prints or images stored in any database referred to in this Act, irrespective of whether the fingerprints, body prints, or images were collected before or after the coming into operation of this Act. But it must be done for purposes related to the detection of crime, the investigation of any offence, the conduct of the prosecution, the identification of missing persons or unidentified persons. That's the only purpose for which a comparative search may be undertaken. Unidentified human remains. That's the situation where some sort of something happens, we uncover or we come across a body.
When we come to the meeting on Tuesday,
we must have seen the same way as never, so that we can adopt it in life. This is our request and nothing, and we appreciate the fact that the prayer is there, but we have no option just to meet that request. Please clear the bill in it to our secretary, so that we can get email from the secretary by Sunday. Those who need copies, they can get hard copies, so that we can go through the bill over the weekend and agree or disagree. That is on Tuesday, we are starting to stop the evening this prayer on us as members of parliament. Looks like we've taken long to have the bill in the government. But let me thank you all for making it possible for us to do our work. Thank you very much. We will meet on Tuesday.